Second Corinthians, New Testament book, Second Corinthians and Ephesians 6. Second Corinthians 2, Ephesians 6. One short verse in Second Corinthians, and then a couple of verses here at Ephesians 6 that we know, most of us would know those very well. Amen. I'll go ahead and read the first one, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Amen. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And that was, of course, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and now he's writing to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 6. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, that's scheming and strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But he didn't say we don't wrestle at all. He just says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against one another. Some of you may have been brawlers in your past life, but we don't do that anymore. Amen? But now, we wrestle against principalities. Right? It's one thing to hit somebody you can see, but it's a whole different story to fight those things you can't see. And so he says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood anymore. But we fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's a different level. Amen. It's a whole new level of fighting, a whole new level of warfare. Amen. Amen. One of the most well-known strategies of warfare comes from the ancient Chinese writing, The Art of War. And this particular portion or verse or strategy, we've all heard perhaps translated into English, it says, know your enemy, or more commonly recognized as know thy enemy. And the full quote says this, know your enemy and know yourself. You will not be imperiled in 100 battles. If you do not know your enemies, but do know yourself, you will win one and lose one. If you do not know your enemies nor yourself, you will be imperiled in every single battle. Right. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to us for a few moments this morning, the art of spiritual warfare. Know your enemy. Clap your hands to God and give him praise and thanksgiving again. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your presence. We pray, God, that you will do a mighty work in this house, Lord. Be lifted up in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. And you may be seated before the first plan of attack is drawn up. Before the first battalion of Marines are sent, before the first aircraft carrier sets sail for a distant ocean, before anyone else knows that war is looming on the horizon, the heads of state are gathered in a secret room. The president and vice president are there. The top brass from each military branch is there. The head of intelligence is there. The most brilliant military minds are there. And they've gathered while everyone else is asleep. They've gathered with one purpose, and that is, before we do anything, we must know the enemy. What's he like? What are his strengths? What are his weaknesses? What kind of arsenal does he have? How has he fought in the past? What has been a common plan of action for him? These questions and many, many more must be answered before the president gives the okay to move on to the planning stage of war. In spiritual warfare, This strategy is not only important, it is imperative. Amen. The art of spiritual warfare is know thy enemy. In Matthew 13, Jesus tells the parable of the wheat and tares, and he says, the Bible says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. When it became apparent that tares had been sown among the wheat, the owner recognized immediately that an enemy has done this. It happened while they slept. The enemy attacked him by sabotaging his crop. The owner should have known this could happen. He should have known that his enemy was not only capable of doing something like this, but that this was one of his strategies. Amen. That this was one of his tricks. Right. And he could have been prepared. Right. He could have been on guard for this. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Know your enemy. Don't be surprised. Don't be taken off guard. Whether you are walking toward God today or you're already walking with Him, there is a target on your back. Amen. You've got an enemy and he wants your soul. You can be sure today that hell does not want you here. Satan and his army of hell, they don't want you in church this morning. They don't want you worshiping God this morning. They don't want you hearing the Word of God. They don't want you doing anything for God, amen, or for your spiritual life or your walk with God or your relationship with God. They want you out there somewhere entertaining yourself. They want you out there somewhere pleasing self, doing it all for self, worshiping the God of self, worshiping the God of entertainment or Hollywood or sports or whatever it might be, anything but in the house of God. Amen. But because you're here and because you've lifted your voices and you've lifted your hands and you've given God praise and because you've worshiped and because you're hearing the Word of God, you've got a target on your back. Amen. Amen. None of us are immune to spiritual attack. We are not invincible. When was the last time you were tempted by unbelief or anger or jealousy or contempt for someone or lust or pornography or some vice? When was the last time you were tempted? If you used to be a drinker, when was the last time you were tempted to take a drink or smoke or drugs or whatever it might be? Whatever those things were or are. When was the last time you were tempted in any of these things? Probably very recently. Because spiritual warfare is very real. It may be subtle or it may be an onslaught, but it's real. Spiritual warfare is a fight for your soul. Amen. We just sang about it. Right? You're walking or you're living on a battlefield when you're living for God. Amen. If you want an easy street life and you want everything just to run smoothly, that can happen outside of living for God. Because if you're not living for God and you're not saved and you're not worshiping God, serving God, and you're just living life, you're just existing, then the devil has no reason, hell has no reason at all to target you or pursue you. But if you're making it your life's goal to live for God and to go to heaven and to bring somebody with you and to worship God and to live for God, hell doesn't want that. Amen. When there were only two people on this planet, hell said, I can't have that. I can't have them serving God in the garden. And just imagine when he took a third of heaven with him, how much damage they can do and have done to this earth and to the population of this place. Amen. And so spiritual warfare is real. It is a fight for your soul. It's a fight for your spiritual life. It is a fight for your relationship with God and ultimately your eternity.
Amen.
Amen. It's a fight for your family. It's a fight for the church. It's a fight for the unsaved. It's a fight for the community. Amen. Now, let me give us some highlights from that ancient Chinese writing, The Art of War. But think of it, think in spiritual terms, terms of spiritual warfare. Okay, he says, and I quote, "The art of war is of vital importance. It is a matter of life and death, a road either to safety or to ruin. Hence, it is a subject of inquiry which can on no account be neglected." Amen. Vital importance. A matter of life and death. On no account can it be neglected. Remember, think of these. This is from The Art of War, written by supposedly by Sun Zi. Back in the 5th century before Christ. But this is from The Art of War. But think of this in terms of spiritual warfare. Then he goes on. "The general who wins the battle makes many calculations in his temple before the battle is fought. The general who loses makes but few calculations beforehand." Wow. If you're going to win spiritual warfare, you've got to make some preparations. You've got to make some calculations. Amen. If I'm going to win, that means, let me calculate for a moment here. If I'm going to win, that means I've got to pray. If I'm going to win, that means I've got to read the Word. I've got to fast. I've got to worship. I've got to praise. Amen. Because the one who loses makes but few calculations. They just walk out there and just say, okay, I'm going to live for God. Not going to pray, not going to study the Word, not going to do anything. But I'm just going to live for God by myself. I don't need a church. I don't need a pastor. I don't need anybody. He loses. What about this one? "What is essential in war is victory, not prolonged operations." Amen. What is essential in war is victory, not prolonged operations. Victory is what we're looking for. Victory is what you need. Every battle, what is essential is victory, not prolonged operations. Too often we entertain temptation rather than immediately fighting it. Too often we entertain thoughts we ought not be thinking. Too often when temptation comes, well, you know, and just kind of, we just flirt with it for a little while and this and that, kind of go down a little road. I'm just going to take a detour for a day or so. No. The goal, what is essential, is immediate victory, not prolonged operations. There's no time to wallow in jealousy or wallow in anger. Amen. Or allow the lust or allow unbelief for even a moment. And then he says, Victorious warriors win first, then go to war. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. Amen. If you're going to be a victorious warrior in spiritual warfare, you win first and then you fight. Amen. Winning comes first in spiritual warfare, because you don't just go into spiritual warfare and then hope to win. You got to win that battle before you ever get there. You got to win it in your mind. You got to win it in prayer. You got to win it in praise and worship. You win in fasting. You win the battle before you ever get to the battlefield. Oh, hallelujah. And then he says, to secure ourselves against defeat lies in our own hands, but the opportunity of defeating the enemy is provided by the enemy himself. To secure ourselves against defeat lies in our own hands, but the opportunity of defeating the enemy is provided by the enemy himself. In other words, that first part, to secure ourselves against defeat, lies in our own hands. It means that it's up to me to get understanding. It's up to me to know my enemy. It's up to me to pray. It's up to me to have a consistent prayer life. It's up to me to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. It's up to me to put on the whole armor of God. It's up to me to read and apply and obey God's word. It's up to me to recognize when the enemy is coming against me. Amen. And this Bible is how we secure ourselves against defeat. And it's in our own hands. To secure yourself against spiritual defeat, it's in your hands. Hold your Bible if you got one. It's in your hands. To secure yourself against spiritual defeat, it's in your hands. I can't make you pray. I can't force you to pray. I can't force you to live for God. I can't force anybody to do right. And I don't micromanage. I just preach it and you got to live it. It's in your hands. And so he says, to secure ourselves against defeat, that's in our own hands. But then he says, the second part of that, he says, the opportunity of defeating the enemy is provided by the enemy himself. In other words, Satan has already shown his hand, so to speak. He's already used every trick he has. This Bible gives us thousands of years of history of his actions. And so we ought to know what to expect. Amen. Amen. That's why Peter said, think it not strange. Why are you surprised at the fiery darts of Satan? Why are you surprised? Don't think it's strange when these fiery trials come, as though some strange thing has come upon you. This is not strange. You should have known what was coming. You should have known how Satan fights. He's already provided us the opportunity to defeat him, because he's already shown us everything he can do. Amen. Don't you know he put it all on the line when he tempted Jesus Christ? Amen. There is nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new that Satan can do that he's not already tried on somebody else. Amen. In here. Right. Yes. Amen. And so the opportunity to defeat him, he's already provided that. Amen. All we've got to do is know how he acts. All we've got to do is know his strategies. Know your enemy. Amen. And so here's what we know and should expect in this spiritual life we live. Again, quoting from The Art of War, this should sound familiar to us. Sounds just like our enemy. The writer says, all warfare is based on deception. Amen. Amen. This is written in China some 2,500 years ago. No, more than that, actually. But he says, all warfare is based on deception. Does that not describe our enemy? Isn't that what our enemy does? When hell is coming against you, it's based on deception. When you're tempted to quit and walk away, it's based on deception. That there's something better, that it's not worth it. Amen? When you're tempted by jealousy, it's based on deception. When you're tempted by lust, it's based on deception. When you're tempted by prejudice, it's based on deception. When you're tempted by unbelief, it's based on deception. When you're tempted by fear, it's based on deception. Amen. It's always based on deception when it comes to Satan. The writer goes on to say, when the enemy is near, he makes you believe he's far away. And when the enemy is far away, he makes you believe he's near. Come on, somebody. It's all based on deception. Then he says, if you're temperamental, the enemy will try to irritate you. Right? Does the devil not know how to push your buttons? Does he not know just how to get to you? Right? Help us, Jesus. Indeed. He knows just how to push buttons. He says he will pretend to be weak that you will become arrogant. All right? He'll pretend to be weak. He'll pretend that he's not as bad as everybody says he is. He'll pretend that this is all exaggerated, that he's not really that bad. He'll pretend to be weak, that we become arrogant. Oh, I ain't gonna fall. Not me. How many people who have said, I will not, I will never, I won't, I will never. Amen. I've seen pastors lose out with God's who lose out with their relationship with God and backslide, who preached, I will never, I will never, I will never, I will never. He won't get to me. No, he will not. And so the enemy has pretended himself to be weak so that you would become arrogant and say, not me. It won't happen to me. Amen. And then he says, and when you're at ease, he will attack. When you're at ease, he will attack. When you begin to say, you know what? I think I've got this. I'm at a new level now. I don't have to grab a hold of the altar and cry and scream anymore like I used to do. I'm doing pretty good. I've got this thing beat. And when you're at ease, he attacks. And don't ever believe that there is any ounce of mercy in Satan. Amen. He'll come to you, oh, I'm just a simple serpent. I'm beautiful. I'm harmless. I'm not gonna hurt you. This won't hurt. This is actually gonna be fun. And then he says, when we are united, he will try to divide. Amen. It's his strategy. Amen. It's the strategy of the enemy. Amen. When we are united, he will try to divide. Right. Amen. He will try to come in and separate. That's why unity is so important in the church. That's why unity is so important between each of us, all of us. Amen. Because he wants to come in and slip in here and say, did you see the way he was looking at you? Did you see the way she looked at you, what you're wearing? Did you hear the tone in that? Right? And so he tries to slip in between us. Moving right along. You know what? Let me just slip right on in here. You know what I heard him saying about you? You know what he was saying about you? That's what he does. And that's what he's going to try to do. Satan can't stand to see a unified church. Amen? And so he's going to slip in anywhere he can. They don't like you there. They don't like you. They think they act like they like you, but they don't like you. Caleb, they don't want you at that church. Just don't believe all of that mess. He's a liar, okay? He's a liar. They don't want you there. The pastor's white. They don't want you there. They're racist. He's a liar and the father of lies. Amen? It's a strategy that's as old as the planet. He wants to move in and divide. He wants to move in and separate. Amen. We've got to be unified. We need a spirit of unity in this place. Thank God for it, but we need it. We need it. We need it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make us one. God, make us one. Make us one. Make us one. Make us one. Make us one, Lord. Make us one. The writer says he will attack you where you are unprepared. He will attack you where you are unprepared. And he will appear where he is not expected. Amen. Amen. He will attack you where you are unprepared. And he will appear where he is not expected. Let me hear. He will hold out bait to entice you. He will. He'll put out bait. He'll put out these little enticing things. Oh, wait. Let me see that. Well, that looks good. That looks inviting. He will pretend to be inferior to encourage your arrogance. Oh, you're stronger than I am. I know you pray, you fast, you read your word, and I am nothing. I'm little. I'm nothing. I'm inferior to you. He pretends to be inferior to encourage your arrogance. Spiritual warfare is no joke. Many people have backslid and walked away from God because they lost a spiritual battle and finally quit. It's a choice, of course. It's a choice for everyone to live for God or not. It's a choice that everyone makes. Amen. Living for God is a choice. Everybody fights spiritual warfare. Everybody does. Everybody fights. Anyone and everyone who lives for God, ever has or ever will, fights spiritual warfare. Amen. How we fight and when and whether or not we get up when we're knocked down, whether or not we keep on going, right? It's a choice. It's a choice to come into the sanctuary every time we have the opportunity. It's a choice to pray. It's a choice to open the Word of God. It's a choice to praise. It's a choice to worship. It's a choice to give. It's a choice to serve. If you know your enemy, you do not have to be defeated. Nobody will make you go to hell. Nobody can make you be lost. It's a choice. To say, I can't live for God is not true. You choose to live for God or not. Amen. But you've got to know your enemy if you're going to live for God and win spiritual warfare. You've got to know what he's like. You've got to know what his strengths and weaknesses are. You've got to know what kind of arsenal he has. You got to know how he has fought in the past. Amen. And so, here's some things you need to know about Satan. Number one, he's jealous. Yeah. He's jealous, right? Amen. Why does he tempt you with jealousy? Because he's jealous. Isaiah 14 says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." He was jealous. He had at one time most favored angel status. But he was jealous of God. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be above God. Jealousy is cruel. It'll make you say things and do things that you wouldn't normally say or do or think. Amen. And so he tempts you to be jealous of a person or their position or their talent. Right? Or the attention that they might receive. And like the prodigal son, jealousy will lead you right out of the father's house and into the world. Amen. Satan is jealous of praise and worship. And while he knows that you'll never say about him what you say about God, if he can only divert your attention and your focus and your energy away from God, he'll soon have your praise and worship in some other way. Amen. Amen. He's jealous. And the second thing, he's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. As I said in the beginning, all warfare is based on deception. He said to Eve, "Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" She said, "We may eat of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of that one tree, God says, you shall not eat of it or you die. You touch it, you die." The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not die. You won't surely die." No. Not like that. He says, "For God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And of course, the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. He took the fruit thereof and did eat, gave to her husband. He did eat. I read, I don't know if it's true or not, but I read where rat poison is 99% real food and 1% poison. Is that correct? Nobody knows, so it's correct. No, just kidding. Just kidding. But they said that rat poison is 99% real food and 1% poison. But that's what Satan does to God's word. He'll come to you and he'll twist Scripture. He'll twist it and he'll keep it 99% real and 1% poison just to knock you off, just to destroy you, just to kill you. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. Jesus said there's no truth in him. He's a liar and the father of lies. When he opens his mouth, he's lying. Whatever he says to you, believe the opposite because he's lying. He'll offer you everything, but he owns nothing. He'll tell you that you mean nothing to God. He'll tell you that you're lost and there's no hope for you, so you might as well quit. You might as well give up. Amen. He'll lie to you about the church. He'll lie to you about your neighbor. He'll lie to you about your brothers and sisters. He'll lie to you about truth. He'll lie to you about anything and everything. Amen. He'll tell you can't do it when you can do it.
Amen.
He'll tell you it's wrong when it's right.
Right.
He'll tell you it's right when it's wrong.
Right.
Because he's a liar.
Right.
He's a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He's a thief.
Right.
He comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Right.
He comes to steal hope. He comes to steal your joy.
Right.
He comes to steal your peace.
Right.
He comes to steal your strength.
Right.
He comes to steal your blessings. He comes to steal the word, right? Just like the parable of the sower, when that seed is sown, he comes, he wants to steal that word. He wants to steal that seed. When you walk out the door, he's already trying to steal it from you. He's a thief. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a thief. Amen. He's an accuser. He still tries to go to God and accuses us before God day and night, the Bible says.
Amen, amen.
He's a tempter. He caught Jesus at his physically weakest moment, weak from fasting. Tempted him by saying, if you are who you say you are, turn these rocks into bread.
Right.
And what can be more tempting when you've been fasting for 40 days than hot bread? Amen. As I said a moment ago, he knows what buttons to push on you. He's got his crosshairs on your weaknesses. And so he's a tempter. He attacks your body. Right? He will attack your body. Suddenly you'll feel so exhausted. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like going today. Just all of a sudden, I just don't feel like going.
Right. Amen.
Don't feel like getting dressed. Don't feel like getting up.
Right.
He attacks your mind. Right?
Amen.
He throws thoughts at your mind. And you don't know where they came from.
Right.
He'll make you think you're losing it.
He'll
make you think you're losing your mind.
Amen.
He'll make you think I'm going crazy. I can't. Where is this coming from? He tries to speak confusion. He tries to cause fear. But you've got to recognize, you've got to realize and recognize, no. This is the devil. This is Satan. This is the enemy. I've seen it before. I know you. I know how you operate. I know how you work. Get behind me, Satan. Get out of here. You're not going to take my mind. You're not going to throw. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, be on guard, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's after you, yes. He's after your mind, yes. But if you know him, if you know your enemy, you can win. You can defeat your enemy. He's after your walk with God, yes, but you're not going to lose. He's after your family. He's after your children. He's after your relationships. But fight and fight on.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, there's an enemy of your soul. Yes, he attacks. But you can. You can defeat him. He's already provided you with the opportunity to defeat him.
Amen.
Amen. And your victory is in your hands. It's in your hands.
Amen.
Fight
Amen.
And fight on. Amen.
Amen.
Fight and fight on.
Amen.
He's no respecter of persons. None of us are exempt. None of us are immune. It's not by zeal alone that you win. It's not by zeal alone.
Amen.
Zeal alone never defeats age and treachery, and he's been doing it for many, many, many centuries and millennia. But by wisdom, by understanding, amen. Your spiritual self-perception is not enough. Adam was in paradise when he fell. Solomon wrote 3 books of this holy word of God, and he fell. Lucifer was in heaven of all places, and he fell. But by wisdom and by understanding, amen, know your enemy. Know who he is. Know what he does. Know when he's coming. Know how he's coming. And be prepared to fight. Be prepared. Oh, hallelujah. You can see him coming sometimes. You can hear him coming sometimes. You can feel him coming sometimes. And sometimes you just smell him coming. Amen. Be prepared. I will fight and I will win. Because I've got my instructions from my general. Amen. He's telling me, awake, stand up. Amen. Hear. Oh Lord. This is it. This is my instructions. It's right here. I will trust. I will not be afraid. I will pray. I will believe. I will fight.
Amen.
And when he comes with his lies and his deceptions, I say, devil, you're a liar.
Right.
Every time you open your mouth, you're lying.
That's right.
I don't believe anything you say.
That's right.
I know what the Word of God says. And I open the Word of God and I begin to read. And I begin to quote. And I begin to pray the Scripture. And I fight. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When he comes as a thief, I say, devil, get your hands off my joy. Get your hands off my promises. Get your hands off my blessings. I open the Word and I fight and I read and I pray and I praise and I worship and I give. Devil, get your hands off my finances and I give. Hallelujah. I trust him. When he comes as a tempter, I say, get behind me, Satan. I know what you're trying to do, but I'm not falling for it because I read in the Word. I've already read it. I know how you're acting. I know what you're doing. I know what you're trying to do, but I'm reading and I'm praying and I'm quoting.
Amen, amen, amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So get behind me, Satan. I'm an overcomer. Hallelujah. I'm an overcomer.
Hallelujah.
When it comes against your family, I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. When it comes against your mind, I rebuke those thoughts.
Hallelujah.
I've got the Holy Ghost and I've got a holy God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be holy. I cast down every imagination.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all, everybody say all the power of the enemy, and nothing, everybody say nothing, no thing shall by any means hurt you. Oh, hallelujah. I'm an overcomer. I'm a winner. Oh, somebody shout yes. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I have dominion. I walk in authority. I've been washed in the blood. I'm kept by his love.
Hallelujah.
I'm filled with his spirit. And by his stripes, I am healed. I am free. He gave me the victory. I shall not be defeated. I shall not be defeated. Oh, somebody shout yes. Somebody shout yes. Let's stand in this house all over this place. Lift your voices and let's worship God.